Hi, welcome to episode 72 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker, and I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for finding my show, you guys. Take a minute, subscribe to Motherhood in Hollywood if you haven't already, and leave me a review. It is so important when it comes down to the rankings and ratings and whatnot on iTunes and Stitcher. Take a minute, leave a quick review about my show, would you? Thanks. Okay, bye-bye. I also want to tell you guys that my guest today is film, television, and web director Shannon Flynn. She has a lot of wonderful things to say about what's going on with the directors, women directors movement right now, why it's so important that we have women directors behind the camera in projects all over the entertainment industry, from film, television, and web projects. So you'll want to stick around for that. Before we get into our interview, though, I want to tell you about Up4 Probiotics. Up4 has been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. So if you're looking for a probiotic that's going to really support your gut health and start making you happier from the inside, that's exactly what Up4 does. And they're good at it. They have years of studies and actually a trademarked super strain that's just their own strain that helps make their probiotics the best probiotics around. So go right now, motherhoodinhollywood.com, and click on the Up4 Probiotics image, or you can find them in your local Target store. Up4 has been creating a happier inside since 1979. I also want to tell you guys about the new Lansinho Bluetooth smart pump. It's really incredible what this breast pump can do. It pairs with the Lansinho baby app to help you record the date, time, and duration of each of your pumping sessions. And if you're a new mom, you know this can be a huge help because you're tired and you don't want to reach for a pen and pencil and write all this stuff down. All of this can be tracked right at your fingertips with the Lansinho baby app and the Lansinho Bluetooth smart pump. Go right now to motherhoodinhollywood.com and click on the Lansinho image. That will take you to their website where you can find out more information about how the Lansinho smart pump can make breastfeeding and breast pumping easier for you. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood again. Hey, it's me, Heather, and I have had such a crazy week. We'll talk about it a little bit. I'm a little tired right now. I literally just got back from Las Vegas. Chris took me to Las Vegas for my birthday, which is coming up on Tuesday the 15th. And I cannot even tell you, we had so much fun. We did a little revisiting of our college years. We played a couple of hours worth of beer pong. That's right. We're 19. It was so nice to be able to kind of throw caution to the wind. And there's just something about Vegas that allows for that carefree, do what you want, you know, go a little crazy kind of atmosphere that you don't get to do every day as a parent. So my great friends, my best friends, Mary and Nelson Diaz, watched Channing for me this weekend. So we could go out of town and have a little bit of fun. And I'm so grateful to them. So thank you guys. Love you. Thanks for letting me go and have a little fun. Mama needed it. Do you ever have those days where you're like, I just need a break? For some moms, we get a break that's like maybe an hour, maybe just need an hour, and you covet that hour. You're like, oh, what can I do? But I've been getting to the point where I've been so busy with motherhood in Hollywood. So many wonderful things are happening and I'm having a hard time like keeping up, you know, with all of the great stuff. And it starts to get overwhelming. And I personally tend to just kind of not shut down. That's not the right response, but I kind of just back off of things for a little bit and go, whoa, 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 this is too much. I need to take a step back. I don't know how you guys deal with your stress, but that's what I do. And then once I've had my moment to sort of gather my thoughts and get a plan together, then I'm ready to push forward and keep going. So that's kind of what's been happening. So this weekend was a much needed break for mama. What else has been going on? Oh, I have a couple of giveaways I want to tell you guys about really quickly. You only have one day left. If you're listening to this on Monday, the 14th, when it comes out, you only have one day left to enter to the MIH Fleming's gift card giveaway. I'm giving away a $100 gift card to Fleming's for they're having a big Thanksgiving event coming up. This is the first year that Fleming's is offering a meal on Thanksgiving. You don't have to use your gift card for Thanksgiving, but it's just sort of to kick off their new Thanksgiving tradition. So go to my website to enter there. That's the Fleming's giveaway. And this is really cool. Another great thing about social media is how people can interact and reach out. And a woman by the name of Kay, who owns Velvet Violet Photography here in Southern California, reached out to me after finding me on Instagram. She loved the podcast and had such wonderful things to say. And she wanted to take pictures of me and Channing to help stir up business and increase her business here in Southern California. And I was so flattered that she chose me for her Powerhouse Moms series, which is basically just a series of moms that she's come across that she thinks are really unique and have a wonderful story to tell. And I was like, of course I do. Of course that's me. No. Hashtag humble. But no, definitely was very flattered and very honored that she picked me. And you guys, the pictures that she took of me and Channing were so great. I just was blown away by how beautiful they were. So Kay and I are partnering up. Now we're going to do a giveaway. If you would like a half hour photo session with Kay from Velvet Violet Photography, all you have to do is follow her on Instagram and then make sure you follow me on Instagram as well and hashtag Velvet Violet Photography to be entered into the drawing. I'm going to pick a winner on November the 18th, and you'll get 10 high-res photos, and you'll get an online gallery of your photo session with Kay. So check it out, Velvet Violet Photography, and also I'll post information on my website as well. Very cool. Love it. Love the pictures, and I hope you guys do too. All right, so really quickly, let's talk about the big news that's happening this week. Excuse me. I'm getting old, you guys. This is my birthday week. And I've been sort of coming to terms with it for a while now that this is my big, big birthday. And it is no longer in my 20s, no longer in my 30s. And we'll just leave it at that. I'm trying to figure out, too, why I'm having such a hard time with this birthday, unlike other birthdays. I've just sort of been like, yay, no big deal. I'm going to be 40. And that is a huge admission for me to make. I feel like I just told you guys a very big secret. Don't tell anyone else. But I don't know if it's because I feel like this is the end of my youth. This is it. I'm over. I'm going to be old, dried up. You know, nobody's going to want to have sex with me anymore. When I say that to my husband, he's like, wait, how many people are having sex with you? Good reminder, honey. Thank you. Just the one for now. anyway, so I'm about to be 40 and I'm really trying to come to terms with that and find out what it really means to me and why it's freaking me out so much. As soon as I find out, I'll let you guys know. I mean, am I the only one who gets bummed out about the idea of being 40? I can't be. I know I'm not. I'm choosing to look at it like it's another excuse to have a party, another reason to celebrate. And I'm just going to try to look at it like it's one more day, just one more year. Good things are happening in my life. I have a great family. I'm in a good place, and just try not to be totally bummed out that I'm getting older. So that's where I'm at, guys. All right. Well, now that I've thoroughly bummed you out, let's take a moment and do a couple of quick shout outs, mom mentions over on Twitter. Christian Marie at Dandy is Candy. Well, hello there. Thanks for following me on Twitter. Sally Brandon, Scott Puritz, thank you guys so much for finding me and following me on Twitter. And also Two Fruits Podcast, a queer and a pop culture podcast. I love it. So thank you guys for taking the time to find me at MIH Podcast. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood, where I'll post a bunch about giveaways and funny videos and lots of silly things. Stay tuned for some big announcements of things coming up down the road I want you guys to be a part of. All right, so that's enough for the mommy monologue. I want to get to the interview I did with Shannon Flynn. She's a film, television, and web director who has worked on a lot of shows for Nickelodeon and Disney and all kinds of networks. You guys are going to love what she has to say. And she's also a mom of three kids. So This woman is unbelievable, and I know you guys are going to love her story. Here's my interview with Shannon Flynn. How long have you been directing?
I started as a theater director when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
And then started television directing in 2006, so 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Happy anniversary to me.
Yay. So what is it about like theater that made you want to direct?
I started at junior college, mm-hmm. was intent on being an actor, and then I took a directing class and directed my first short 5-minute play. And I really like the power that comes with directing.
I was it the power?
No, but I realized that I had an aptitude for getting inside something,
yeah,
directorially, and then being able to communicate that with an actor, more than one actor at that, so that I could see different perspectives.
And so, go ahead.
No, it's cool.
I was going to say, so how eventually then did that translate into television directing? Because it's a little, I mean, obviously it's a different kind of beast, but at its core, you're still directing actors.
Yes, absolutely. After I went to grad school, I met with a director who had gone to grad school, my grad school, and graduated, and he asked me if I was interested in directing sitcoms, if I was directing for television. And I said, isn't that selling out for a theater director to direct
television? Why would you think that?
Because I think that there's this idea in theater that there's a purity.
Oh, sure. It's like that for actors, too. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're a theater actor.
You right, know, the theater.
Versus a film and television actor. Oh, there's totally like a selling. I get that.
So I thought, but I mean, it was an honest question. I thought that I wasn't going to be diving into storytelling the way that you dive into storytelling as a director of theater.
Do you think you were right? Do you think you are? Are you still able to tell stories as a TV
Absolutely.
Director? Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody has a story to tell. Yeah. Every writer has a story to tell. And it's my job to bring the essence of that story to stage, or in this particular case, on camera.
Now, tell me about the types of shows you direct. What are you drawn to?
I love female-centric, strong women who can not be cynical.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I think comedy right now is about the anti-hero.
Sure.
I think it's about I think there's a lot of comedy of cynicism and a lot of dark comedy that really is hurtful. Mm-hmm. And the comedy comes from either making fun of people, or it comes from, you know, the cynicism of the world around us. And really what I love are the hopeful, optimistic comedies where it could potentially take a dark turn, and it ends up choosing something that is more hopeful.
So you like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt kind
yes.
of a like yeah.
Yes. And I'm embarrassed to say this, but I just found this comedy Playing House.
Oh yeah. On is it
USA?
USA. I was gonna say like TNT, but I knew that it wasn't right. Yeah.
And it is...
It's on its like third season or something?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just about ready to launch into its third season. And here are two women who created the show, who mm-hmm. are also acting in the show. And...
Hashtag goals.
I know, exactly. Hire me.
Yeah.
No, but I watched the show, and it is exactly the kind of comedy mm-hmm. that I love.
Yeah. What is it about comedy that you're drawn to as opposed to maybe dramas, or maybe both? Maybe
I like both, actually. I do absolutely enjoy both. And I love the idea that there is comedy and drama, and that there is drama and comedy, because both inform the other.
Are you watching Better Things on FX? I've been talking about this constantly. I don't know if you listen to the show, but I'm obsessed with it.
I have not watched Better Things yet.
It's got the sort of cynicism that you were just talking about, but it's, I don't want to say she's an anti-hero, because she just seems very, you know, flawed. She's very
right.
flawed. in this show. And she, but it's funny in that you're like, especially if you're industry, you know, in LA, it's like, ah, I totally get that. Like, right. I know her frustrations for sure, especially as a mom.
So now I have to watch better
Now you
things.
Have to watch
Now
better
I have
things.
To add this to my Netflix queue.
Add it to the queue immediately. I don't... yeah, it's one of those shows that I think is really funny, but it's not like a haha in your face funny kind of a thing. It's interesting to hear you say that because you, have worked on so many kids shows.
Yes.
For Nickelodeon. And have you done Disney shows?
Yes.
Too?
Oh yes. That's where I got my start on Hannah Montana.
Oh, nice. With Miley.
Yeah. She's amazing. I love you, Miley.
Here's the deal. She's one of those people that I love to hate in that she's her persona right now. And I know she's trying to branch out and whatever, but it's really annoying. But then I have to remind myself, she's still incredibly talented. And yes. Number two, it's her marketing. It's her branding. It's what she's doing. She's mm-hmm. being a crazy wild child right now. And people are, I just got real country when I said that. I don't know why right now. But I get what she's doing and why she's doing it. But it's so annoying because she's so talented. I just want her to just be.
Well, I think the other thing too, I was just talking with somebody about this because I think that it's really easy to forget that Hannah Montana and Miley Stewart on Hannah Montana were characters.
Yeah.
Not
her.
That's not who she was. And right. I spent 4 seasons with her as a director and as an acting coach on the show, working one-on-one with her. And, I mean, who she is at the core of her being is one of the most humble, generous, and self-effacing people that I had the pleasure of working with. So who she happens to be out in a persona out in the public, and it's been, you know, 3 years since yeah. I've spoken to her, but I mean, I can honestly tell you, if people had recorded my every single move, I would take either retreat
mm-hmm.
or do you take advantage of that?
Yeah. I think that she's there's some smart marketing going on, and I see that from the industry right. perspective. But I also just sort of like, oh, I hate that she even has to do that. Like, she right. has to be like, why can't she just be herself? Because everything I've heard is like what you just said.
Right.
She's this genuine, nice, kind, funny person, but she comes across as a total like T-Watt sometimes I'm like, what's wrong? You do not need, I'm great. You smoke weed. Like, you don't need to dress up like a giant marijuana leaf. Like, we get it. Good for you.
Well, and in recently though, I think she's moving away from that.
Yeah. Well, I think The Voice is sort of transitioning her
right.
maybe into a little bit more of an adulty kind of, you know, persona. I'm hoping that's what's happening. I assume that she has to be the way you describe. Otherwise, why would Liam Hemsworth, like, why would he date her? He's so dreamy. I want to marry his brother, except I'm already
Chris
married.
Chris Hemsworth.
And he's already married.
Yes. But him in Ghostbusters was,
oh my gosh,
hands
so funny.
Down one of the best male comedy performances.
What did you think
I've ever
about
seen.
Ghostbusters?
Loved it.
Did you really?
Oh my God.
Oh, we have to agree to disagree.
Okay, that's fine. We can, because I had to remember, this isn't a remake of Ghostbusters.
Right.
This isn't trying to erase Bill Murray
no.
and Dan Aykroyd
no.
and Harold Ramis. It is, and Ernie Hudson, props to Ernie Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to erase that.
No, it was sort of like a reimagining.
It
is
was
the term I've heard bands
yeah,
about.
It is taking that story, co-opting the elements of that
it,
story,
yeah.
and making it with women,
with modern day, and also a little more modern. My beef wasn't with the fact that they did it. I know some people were just mad. Well, I'm mad just because they're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
My childhood.
Yeah, my childhood. No, I wasn't mad necessarily that they were doing that because Lord knows they're doing it with everything from
right.
from my childhood, from the 80s and 90s and whatnot. So I think I was more annoyed. Or what bothered me is that there didn't seem to be a connection, a real connection in the characters. Like, they didn't really seem, even the Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig characters, their backstory, I was like, everybody just seemed to be playing at these caricature types. I'm looking at it from an actor's perspective.
Of course.
And I know that Kate McKinnon and everyone was like, oh my God, she stole the show. For me, she was really annoying to watch. It was one note the whole time. It was wacky, like, oh, what am I going to do now? That's weird in the scene. It was an unbelievable thing. It was an unbelievable character. Like, I do not believe that that character would exist in the world and people wouldn't be like, hey, you're fucking weird. You know what I mean? Like, no one would go, that's weird. Nobody in a conversation would just start, you know, doing some of the weird stuff she was doing without someone going, you need mental help. So for me, I know it's a comedy, but I was like, I'm having a hard time getting into it because everybody just seems so wacky. I'm also incredibly jealous of Melissa McCarthy.
So oh my God. Melissa McCarthy is dreamy. When I had my first child, my mentor was directing on the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, nice.
So I took Molly up to meet Lee, who had mentored me for 3 years as a director. And Melissa was there and she was pregnant with her first. She was like, oh my God, let me hold your baby. And we started talking about motherhood stuff and everything. So it was, she's
great.
Sweet.
Everybody
wonderful.
Says that. Everybody says that about her. She is a good rep, that gal.
Yeah.
I still take her out at the knees if I get a chance.
Oh gosh.
Because I'm tired of being compared to
her. You should totally.
But it's like, we're two different types. But
Tonya Harding, that lady.
Yeah, I totally will. Watch your back.
Watch.
I love that you say that you love the female-centric types of shows and types of stories. How much input do you have in what you choose to direct? Because you're not, it's not like you have to direct X amount of shows with a certain network or, you know, tell me how the process works for you. Do they come to you with a show? Do producers come to you and say, hey, we'd like for you to direct? Do you have to go in and pitch yourself? How does it work?
My reps will do a lot of homework for me, and I'll do homework for myself because I can be, I'm the one who's going to be my best advocate. So if there are stuff out there that I see
that you want to work
that I want to work on, I will absolutely have them get on it. And sometimes you can find a connection there with people that have worked on the show that you find connected earlier in your career. But most of the time it just comes down to me going to a meeting with the producer, executive producer, the writers, or the network and trying to pitch myself.
Okay.
As right for the show.
Do you have to show them like a reel or like
I have a website or my website's on there. Mm-hmm. I have episodes from previous shows on my website and I should probably not say that because maybe it's against the law.
Is it? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I have a reel with all my clips on it.
Okay.
And that shit is everywhere. It's on YouTube.
Yeah,
on
no, that's
Vimeo,
true.
It's on my website. Yeah.
But I've also shot short movies. I've worked with lots of different, on lots of different shows. So there's always, it's likely that they're going to find something to, that I can point to say, oh, see,
I can do this.
I can do this. I can do visual effects. I can do special effects. I can do green screen. I can do.
Yeah. So you really do have to market yourself too in your abilities in that to convince producers like, hey, no, I can take on this 1 hour drama or I can do this half hour multicam. And
absolutely.
Once you're on board, once you get hired for a show, what is the process like? How are you involved? How involved are you then? Do you, help with location scouting? Do you have input on casting?
Yes. And it varies from show to show. You know, some shows have been around long enough that they just, it's, they have a routine.
Like, here's where we film. Here's
what we do. This is what the set that you're working in. We can make minimal changes to it if it's required. But, you know, on a single camera show, which is, you know, more like a movie, you are very involved in those things because you have to be, because you have to know where you're shooting, what's the location like, especially if you're shooting on location and not in a studio. So you have to be very involved in those things. But when it comes to, it just depends on the show. Sometimes the casting is decided before you ever get a script because depends on how far behind they are in terms of scripting. Like when we did Nikki, Ricky, Dicky, and Dawn, they cast you, and I was benefited that gift of your presence.
Or you
on
were
that
like,
show.
Damn it.
No. No, no, no way. That was like hands down one of the funniest scenes.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh my God, you and Sydney Park.
She's adorable.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And her mom is amazing.
Yeah, they were both really nice. I was really nervous filming that because the network and everybody was like they're all staring at you and expecting you to be funny. And you're like,
be
oh
funny.
God, be funny. Oh shit.
Be funny now.
Be funny right now.
Do that thing you did in the audition.
It's terrifying.
Sure.
But in a good way. Like that for me, like that's the goal. That's the dream, is to get to be funny every week and, you know, hopefully somebody pays you for it. that's the goal. But I noticed when I was watching you, you have a lot of plates in the air as a director.
Yes.
Like people are asking you wardrobe questions. People are asking you scripting input. People are asking you, you know, your movie cameras. And that's on an enclosed set in a soundstage.
Right.
I can't imagine the even more complexities when you're out and about filming and on location and things like that.
Right. And that's where, you know, I know this is motherhood in Hollywood. So, but that's where being a mom is really helpful because you have to hone those multitasking skills.
For sure. And you have like 19 children, right?
I am the little old woman that lives in a shoe that had so many children she didn't know what to do.
Right.
But I have three.
Yeah.
And it feels like 19 a lot of the time. And the benefit is that you can yell cut. You will have 10 people who want to talk to you right now.
Yeah. And you're trying to stay focused on the scene or like visually, like, is this serving the story and that sort of thing? And then somebody comes up to you and is like, hey, well, you know, what do you want for lunch? Or, you know,
you'll have like
questions that you don't need answered right away necessarily.
Right. And you'll have an executive producer who is my boss who is saying, here are the acting notes, here are the camera notes, here are how the adjustments that we want to make. And then being able to stay focused and have all of those notes and ideas thrown at you. And then how can I make sure that I am effectively
implementing
those notes?
Yeah.
And then with my own notes. And then, yeah, if you have the wardrobe person coming and talking to you, and then you have your cameraman and your DP, director of photography, coming and talking to you. And so being able to hear all of that and remember all of that and then execute.
Yeah.
So
do you think there's too many cooks in the kitchen on a TV show, or do you think it's just like the hierarchy of the way it's always been?
I think that there is, and it's different for every show. A lot of times everything gets funneled through one communicator, and then it's much different than if there are 10 people who are talking to you at the same time. And sometimes you can get conflicting notes. So sometimes you'll get somebody who will say, that actor's pushing too hard, performance isn't grounded or whatever. And then you say, okay. And then you'll get another person who will give you the diametrically opposite note. And then where do we find the middle ground so that you can serve both people?
Well, that happens as actors too. Like we'll go in and casting will give us notes for the audition. Like, hey, they want this to be super real, very grounded, very subtle. And then you'll book it and you'll go on set and they'll be like, why are you so quiet? Why are you so lame? Make it bigger. And you're like, I'm so confused, you know? And then obviously once you've booked the job, you do what they tell you to do on set as best you can. But it seems like that's why I ask if there's too many cooks in the kitchen, because it seems like you get notes and direction from a bunch of different angles.
Well, and sometimes I think, especially in the audition process, there is, you know, especially if you are afforded more than one take in terms of you're on camera, can you take direction? What's the adjustment that you're going to make?
Right.
Can you make the adjustment effectively? You know, and so sometimes I think that there is an opportunity, especially if the casting director really likes you, to show that you can make the adjustment. Look, here's the bigger take that we had when we first did the camera test, and now here's an option.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, then they can see, A, sometimes I just give actors direction in an audition just to see if they can take my direction. What's the adjustment that they're going to make? Because I want to be able to know that that's somebody I can work with.
Yeah. So that is, I've had that happen before. Honestly, though, nowadays it's so rare that a director and producer, a director especially, like I can't remember the last time I was in an audition with a director.
And that's...
Occasionally it's a producer, but 95% of the time it's all on tape. I never meet any of the staff.
And I think that unfortunately, I think it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And I know that things move very quickly. And a lot of times there isn't the time to set aside to have the director come in. And, but I, it's something that I definitely fight for. Because I want to know that I can work with the person. If you're going to cast a person, I want to know that the person that you're want me to work with is somebody that I can work with.
Even if it's something as small as like one or two lines, or for the bigger parts?
Bigger parts. Yeah. The smaller parts, I still would love to be able to do it. But when it's one or two lines, sometimes you that's just not going to be. Unless it's critical.
Yeah.
We have auditioned background people who have a critical, especially in the kids shows, if they have to
have
timing, if their timing is off, or if you say, like I did this episode recently where the kid had to come in to the door, see what was happening, and then back away slowly, which sounds pretty easy, right?
Right.
But can you walk and chew gum at the same time? So we had to call in five kids
to see if
to audition for this one, but it's a critical on camera role.
Joke, yeah,
and the joke depends on his reaction to her behavior.
Yeah,
and there have been plenty of times when we've just left that to chance, and we've just picked a background person, and they can't do it, and it wastes a lot of time.
You end up getting burned or whatever,
right?
I hope you guys are enjoying my interview with director Shannon Flynn. She has so much more to say about how she balances her life as a mom with her career as a director. So there's a lot of interesting things coming up. I want to take a moment to tell you guys a little more about Up For Probiotics. They have probiotics for every person in your family, all the way from infants to senior citizens. We've given Channing the children's formula for several months now, and it has made such a difference in her dietary health and her digestive system health. That is a big one. It promotes good gut health, which we all need. Probiotics are positive gut bacteria. And I don't know if that's the technical term for it. Maybe they can start using that, but it helps promote positive gut bacteria. That's what probiotics do. And Up For has been making probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. So you know they are a tried and tested and true company. So go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up For probiotics image, and that'll take you right to their site where you can find out which formula works best for you. And I want to tell you guys about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump. Lansinoh has created a smart pump that pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app to help you keep track of the time, date, and duration of your pumping sessions. And for a new mom, this can be an invaluable tool to have. It's all right there at your fingertips. How much you're pumping, how often you're pumping, how much your baby is eating. There's also an area that lets you keep track of statistics like how much your baby weighs, their height, how many diaper changes you've done, all kinds of helpful information like that that new moms need and want to know and want an easy way to keep track of. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Lansinoh image, and that will take you right to their website where you can learn more about the Lansinoh Baby app and the Lansinoh Smart Pump. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump.
Your kids are a little older, right? Like
10, 8, and 7.
So they're all in school now?
Yes, they're all in elementary school.
And how was it, though, when you were first starting out when you were directing? Because I know you said you've been doing it for 10 years.
Right. So
your oldest, then, you had your baby when you first started the transition from theater into regular television directing?
So what happened was, the backstory is I lost my dad in 2005. And I realized that, and I was 35 at the time, and I thought, I guess I should probably have kids. And I was a person who was never going to have children. Mm-hmm. I swore up and down, and I told my husband when we got married, I'm like, don't expect any kids. And he had put it to sleep that we were not going to have children. And then my dad was sick in the hospital, and I would pass the newbies every day in the nursery, and I was like, And then I realized I was taking care of my dad. You know, my parents weren't perfect. And I realized that I was there because I wanted to be, not because I had to be. And then I realized as a parent, you can take the best and leave all the other crap behind. Mm-hmm. So I decided
to go for it.
And it wasn't a biological clock thing. And I know that's true for a lot of women. There's a biological imperative to have a baby.
Sure.
And it's inexplicable. It's just, I don't know what it is. That was not the case for me. That summer my dad passed away, and then I turned to my husband while he was in the hospital, and I said, do you still want to have a baby? And he said, I think that that would be the most perfect expression of our love. And I thought, God damn it. Why do you have to be a writer? It's so like, what? We're not, okay. Anyway, so later that year we got pregnant. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it was just, so Hannah Montana started. Mm-hmm. I was not there. I was there for the first episode just purely as an observer, having had worked on the pilot. And over the course of between the first and second episode, I found out I was pregnant.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Which is actually, 11 years ago, like in these next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So was Hannah Montana your first show, your first TV show to direct?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's a big one to start with.
Yeah.
Well,
but at the time, we didn't know it was going to be huge as it was. Although there was an inkling when, you know, the little boys and girls who were coming to the pilot taping
were running
around the set, and it was
singing.
You could just see.
Cute.
So at about 4 months pregnant, I realized that I needed to tell. Oh, and they offered me an episode with Lee's help. Lee helped facilitate that, mm-hmm. and then they offered me the job as acting coach, and said yes because it was a regular gig.
Yeah,
where I was going to be having a regular income, and knowing that I was newly pregnant and nobody else knew except Lee, mm-hmm. I was like, this could really do well for me. So then at 4 months, I told them I was pregnant, and my due date was a week after we wrapped.
Oh, wow.
And I worked the whole time.
Wow.
Like, I what else was I going to do? I mean, yeah. I would have loved to have laid on the couch and watched Judge Judy and
I think the people who are in the industry are when they become moms, though, we still want to keep working. You know,
being a director is a huge dream come true for me. And knowing that I had a child, what does it say? And, you know, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl until the moment she was born. And they said it's a girl.
Oh, that's fun.
And then it became something even more special to me because I thought, what does it say to my daughter if I give up this dream that I've been working towards for so long,
mm-hmm.
to say, well, I love you, and not that you don't mean everything to me, but I'm going to sacrifice my dream for you. Not that she's not worth sacrificing. I don't want you to get angry posts
on
this.
I think there's definitely something to that, and it's something I struggle with a lot too, because when I had my daughter, I still take care of her full time. Now she's in school a couple of days a week, which is nice, but the rest of the time she's with me. But that doesn't mean that I stop going on auditions.
Right.
It doesn't mean I stop working. Like, the podcast is becoming, you know, Motherhood in Hollywood is becoming a job. I say job, but it's not work. But I don't ever want her to think also that I was like, oh, now I'm a mom. And, you know, so all of these other things I've been passionate about for so long are gone out the window. I've just sort of incorporated them into my new motherhood status.
Right. Well, and that's the part that I think is super important mm-hmm. as a person in this industry. I mean, this is going to sound however it sounds, but we like work in a dream factory.
Sure.
So no matter what my child wants to do, I am an example to them of pursuing something that means something that yeah. that you have a dream about. So
you had the one and then you were like, this was awesome. I want to do it two more times.
So I had the one and it was amazing and it was hard. And it was mm-hmm. what was great is that it was like during hiatus, but I definitely suffered from postpartum depression.
Yeah.
I couldn't breastfeed. I tried everything that I possibly could and it wasn't working. And mm-hmm. so my pediatrician was like, you got to start formula. And I was freaking out about
and you felt
that.
Guilty.
Totally guilty. Yeah. And then he was like, you don't want to have a failure to thrive.
Right.
Situation on your hands.
There's so much pressure on breastfeeding moms to, right. or moms to breastfeed. And I'm like, we know it's the best. Breast is best, but in a perfect world, we'd all do it. But right. not everybody can do it. And I hate the fact that there's so much judgment on moms who supplement with formula, who only do formula, who maybe just do right. pump only. Like that drives me crazy because I'm like, your number one priority is to help your kids survive.
Correct.
At life.
Yeah.
Like, hello. Whatever you've got to do to keep them alive, that's what you do. And I hate that there's so much judgment. I mean, I think it's getting a little better, but I don't know.
Well, it almost feels like the pendulum has to swing in the other direction before sure. it finds its way back to the middle. And sure. then you recognize that there is a greater good, which is
yeah.
I don't want my child to die for right? lack of nutrition.
Exactly. Like, the ultimate goal is to keep them alive by any means necessary.
But no, anyway, so yeah, yeah, it was hard. It was hard and I love working. And yeah. so when Hannah Montana came back for the second season, I was like, peace out.
No, strap the baby in a stroller or
we had somebody who could babysit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And she came to our house and
did you
was
just
a friend
do
of ours.
Like one episode at a time or were you doing like every weekly?
Every week I was working and my husband was working full time too. So it was, you know, what we did in order to make the bills get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is in television, you have hiatus weeks.
Yeah.
So we would work 3 weeks and I would have a week off and then work. And, you know, I feel really lucky that that's the situation.
Yeah. That's but why it's also why it's the dream factory is because the hours and the scheduling of entertainment right. jobs are pretty great. I mean, there are some days, there are some shows that I know they work 14-hour days and
right.
whatever, you know, but then you get like a couple months off. And
right. So and, you know, the other side of it, too, is that I feel really lucky as a director that I have the benefit of being able to work and then take the time off. But if you're a grip, if you're a DP, if you're in wardrobe, if you're in makeup and hair, if you know what I mean, any of the other departments that are there mm-hmm. every single day, 5 days a week, working those long hours, it's like I have such compassion for people who are parents that, you know, yeah, they get the time, they get the 2 months off, but it's like, what do you, you know, it can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be hard. Just like any job that you have to work really long hours, like, are you sacrificing, you know,
something else in order to be there? Yeah, I totally understand that. What do you think about the movement recently? It seems to have picked up a lot more in the last year about women directors, more women in film, how we need more women behind the camera. Whether it's specifically directing or producing. Have you seen this movement? You're a lady director. So I'm assuming
you have lady parts.
You have lady parts. So you're a part of this movement, whether
correct.
You mean to be or not.
I think that, you know, there's a lot of politics around it too. And I think that absolutely 100%. Women need to be behind the camera. And it is, the fact that there's attention being called to it definitely makes the possibilities easier. And the flip side of that is that you're talking about changing decades-long hierarchy, patriarchy, in a way that, you know, makes it difficult. Because what I have learned is it's, you know, exponential. So not only, so if you give a person an episode of television, fantastic. And it's like taking that experience and, you know, getting another experience and another experience and another experience. And if you're not hiring a person on a regular basis, it's like working out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a muscle.
If you're not going to the gym every day, but you're just going once a month like I do, you're probably not going to be getting the benefits of going to the gym like somebody who's going every day.
Got it. So similarly, you know, it's great that people want that there's a movement to hire women, but
it needs to be more
consistent. Needs to be consistent. It has to be, oh, we hire this guy for 10 episodes and we give one to a woman. And it's like, well, the guy who gets the 10 episodes, even if he's new in his career, is going to have 10 episodes worth of experience. And the person gets one, the person who gets one doesn't get the benefit of, and they have to prove themselves in one episode what one person who's guaranteed 10 can do in 10 episodes.
Did you see the article about the executive producer of Jessica Jones hiring only women? What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. And Ava DuVernay did it with Queen Sugar and Jill Soloway. And
so do you think the key here is having women producers who can then hire other women directors?
I think that the key is to see that there is no wasted experience, and that if producers, executive producers, if networks and studios would see that when a woman does have experience, the risk of the quote unquote risk of hiring a woman to direct who may on paper have less experience than her male counterpart, it's a calculated risk, but it has to be a proactive or an incredibly active pursuit to hire more women. It can't be a novelty. It can't be a
look what we're doing kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, look, we hired a lady.
Right. Which I've seen plenty.
Sure.
Where it really is just a tip of the hat to saying we did this. So
now we don't
now
do
we
it
don't
anymore.
Have to do anymore.
What is your ideal situation next? Like, what do you want to do next? Because I know when we were exchanging messages,
right,
you were like, and we were talking earlier, you were like, I want to do different things.
Right.
I'm sort of reinventing, you know, rethinking
right.
things. What are you talking about?
Well,
tell
that's
me.
A good question. And it's, and again,
you don't have to have the answer right now.
No,
maybe you're still exploring.
This is a really interesting time for me because I feel like I've said to you on a couple of occasions, I feel like I'm in the middle of a reset.
Mm-hmm.
That this is the sorbet portion of the meal, if you will.
Yeah.
Where the palate cleanser of...
Also a delicious portion of the meal.
Exactly. The palate cleanser of the unspecified sorbet. But that being said, I feel like that I've had this incredible body of experience. And it just so happens to coincide with the fact that my children are growing away from the shows that I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that there are two goals that I have for working. One is to tell the best story that I possibly can with the material that I'm given, and that I want to work in a place that's joyful.
Yeah.
You know, like I work on Mutton Stuff with Sid and Marty Krofft, which when I was a child growing up in the last century, in the 70s, I watched Land of the Lost, Electro Woman and Dinah Girl, The Bugaloos, H.R. Puffin stuff, whether it was like
H.R. Puffin
and Sid and Marty Krofft are still alive and making television for kids. And the show Mutt and Stuff, which is on Nick Jr., is dogs that go to dog school, and the dogs are basically replacing children going to preschool, and they teach very basic lessons to kids, sharing and working as a team and learning how to understand your differences or learning how to clean up after yourself, like very basic kid lessons,
right,
as
important
told
lessons.
Through
yeah.
dogs, real live dogs. And I have to be able to go show up at work and I get to just snuggle
like puppies and doggies.
Puppies and dogs that are trained to like
That's
do
incredible.
Stuff. It is so incredibly joyful. And it starts with Sid and Marty and Bradley Zweig, who is the other executive producer, and it's like it's amazing. And so wherever I can go to tell the best story and have the most joyful experience, because yeah. I'm a spaz, as you may or may not remember.
I would say you are joyful. I would not say spaz. I would say you have a lot of energy. I mean, I've worked with directors who they're on single cams and they don't hardly talk to me. You know, I go on set and it's like, all right, you stand over there. You know, sometimes I've had directors who literally don't even introduce themselves to me. And I'm like, hi, hello. God, what was the show? I'm trying to remember what show I did where the director didn't even say one word to me the whole time. And then I was wrapped and I was like, which one was the director?
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. That happens a lot because when you play smaller parts,
right.
Sometimes I don't know if they intend to make you feel this way, but sometimes I've been made to feel like, oh, you're just here to serve this one purpose and then get out, you know,
serve
the story and get on out, you know?
Right.
But no, that's happened quite a few times where directors, hi, how's it going? All right, stand over there. Great. You know, that's it.
Huh?
So, oh, it was a show I did recently. Oh, I probably shouldn't say that. I'll tell you out later.
Okay.
I'll tell you my
off mic
secrets time. But I think that's so great. I think it's really cool that you are opening yourself up to lots of possibilities and lots of options.
Right.
And you're hitting your reset. Everybody needs a reset.
Everybody needs a pivot is the other word that I've learned.
That's
recently.
What I'm honestly in the middle of doing that too, like pivoting and resetting and rethinking some things, because I am tired of the 1 and 2 line parts that I seem to get. I'm tired of going on set and not having the director or anybody even know who I am.
Right.
It's very frustrating as an actor, because I've been doing this for 10 years myself, and you start kind of going, hey, what am I doing?
Right.
What am I doing all this for?
Right.
So I'm excited to see what is on the horizon for you. And like,
I'm excited to see what's on the horizon too.
What will it be? Look at the horizon.
Oh, I see a blue light.
What's next?
It'll be interesting. And I'm very...
Any films in the future?
Yes, actually. My husband's a writer. And so he wrote a film, a couple of films, actually. He's written probably a million films. Mm-hmm. And I just can't keep up with his prolific writing. But... there's a couple of films in particular that we've started and then things got pushed back, and then we've started and things got pushed back.
So things in the works.
Yes,
in the works.
Definitely. And I work on Awesomeness TV on a show called Betch Sketch, which is, again, smart, funny women.
I love the people at Awesomeness. That's also Awestruck, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awestruck.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're the ones that invited me to the Trolls event.
Oh.
Yeah.
See?
They're my friends over there.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
And they created, you know, with Maddie Whitby and Monica Joy Scherer and Audrey Whitby and these women who are smart, funny, and what they write is just, I've yeah, much like the opposite end of mutton stuff, where I have this joyful experience, like working with dogs, like to work with these creative women who are just want to just make funny.
It's yeah,
amazing. Amazing.
There's a lot happening right now with women and comedy and strong yes. voices and all that.
Yes. Did you see that video that went around about men in comedy and how they're just not funny?
No.
Oh my God. It's
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Okay, so my last question is, will you cast me every single time I audition for you?
Yes.
No, thank you.
And now it's on tape. And every time that there's a role,
that's like,
I will bring you in.
Where we have a role for a chubby redhead. Where's Heather Brooker? I like I said, I really am excited to see what you're going to do next. I've
Thanks.
Been stalking you, as you know, since we did the show.
Yes.
And I asked you a year ago to come on my
I
podcast.
I know. So I just want, I just want to have it on the record. I went through, in the midst of this reset, one of the things that happened was I fell into a really deep depression.
Oh, wow.
And it sucks for kids to watch your mom. I mean, it wasn't, the severity of it wasn't, I'm minimizing it. Anyway, suffice it to say, I went through a deep depression and it had a huge impact on my kids. And I wanted to shield them from that because
sure.
I didn't want them, you know, kids are inherently very in tune with their parents.
They're perceptive, yeah.
And so, but what happened was I realized that I recommitted myself to this career and that the reason for the reset was had nothing to do. The reason what sent me into it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with somebody else's fear. And I took it so personally. Mm-hmm. And then I sometimes when I need to really get out of something, I think to myself, how do I want my kids to react to this? I want them to get up, brush off their knees, and like become more resolved in whatever it is that they want to pursue. Or if it's the thing that's going to knock them off their this particular path, to find the next thing, but to honor the fact that you have pain in your life, that mm-hmm. there is pain, there will be disappointment. You're not going to get everything that you want. Or you're going to get the thing that you want. You just don't know what it looks like yet.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's where this pivot, reset, whatever it is that you want, reawakening, mm-hmm. whatever, has recommitted me. And I took the lessons from that. And I applied them and realized that there's just something else that's supposed to be out there.
Isn't it interesting how our kids do that for us? They probably don't even realize
right.
that they do that for us. Like Channing will never have any idea how much her very existence has inspired me so much.
Yes.
And I mean, I, you know, maybe one day she will if she goes back through and she listens to all of these podcasts somewhere with me basically talking about her life and my life. But yeah, I don't know that our kids will ever fully realize. And that sounds a little cheesy to say, but whatever, fuck it, it's my show. I can
yeah,
say what
fuck
I
it.
Want.
My, I had a doctor who said to me, after when Molly was like 6 months old, she said to me, "So are you exercising regularly?" And I said, "Well, no."
Next
and she
question.
Said, "You know exactly, but I do wear my seatbelt in the car." But she said, "You know, Shannon, your daughter will do what you do, and she will follow your example. And if you don't take care of yourself, she is not going to be compelled to take care of herself because she's going to watch you." Mm-hmm. So it really, like, there was something about the way she said it or what she said that shifted everything. And it wasn't just about, like, keeping a healthy body, which
right,
I do
right.
occasionally. but it was also about things like talking about myself, the way I talk about myself
right.
when I look at myself in a picture. Like, I was compelled to change the way I talk about myself and my body. I didn't want to ever look at myself and say, "God, I am such a fucking fat cow."
Yeah.
Because that's my first instinct.
Me too. I do that privately.
But
yeah.
I never say fat is a four-letter word in our house.
Right, right. Well, you just don't want them to. I mean, they absolutely are impressionable. And you just don't want them to grow up. I mean, the goal is not. you want them to grow up to be happy and well-rounded people and not have all these right. insecurities, you know, that let them develop it on their own.
Exactly. You know? They're going to have their own insecurities.
My mom is a chubby mom, and she never grew up going, I'm fat, I'm gross, I look gross. I developed that up on my own.
Right.
But I also, to be fair, even though I joke about it, I still think I look pretty fucking hot.
You're fucking amazing.
Right? Like, I don't know
what you're talking about when you say curvy. You know what I mean? That's life.
Yeah. That's part of life. I'm like, I had a baby and I eat too much. That's why I'm curvy. So even though I'm very self-deprecating, I'm also pretty confident in myself, and right. I know what I'm bringing to the table.
Right. And that wasn't pointed at you. I'm saying, like, I really was the words that flew out of my mouth. Like, if I sat my daughter in front of me and said those words to her, mm-hmm. I mean,
horrified. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But no, I really had to find the way to talk about health and a healthy body image in a way that they could, that gave them access to the language to talk about their body and a healthy body language, because we have so many influences from right. just outside of me,
yeah,
but my husband too. So it was definitely something that we had to, that as a couple we had to work on.
Well, like I said, I want to see like what things happen. Will you keep in touch with me, please?
Will you keep in touch with me?
Yes. And keep me updated on everything.
Because you have the most amazing people on this show.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I do.
Amazing. You're kind of a big deal.
I'm kind of a big deal.
You are a big deal.
I've had some really wonderful people who have been willing to come and let me ask them inappropriate questions and talk to
you. No, I don't feel like you asked me one single inappropriate question. I'm a little butthurt.
Well, in that case. No, I just, you know, I really enjoy talking to people and hearing their stories, especially other moms who are like trying to make it work. And I don't want the show to be just all about actors, because that's super easy for actors to do. We get very tunnel vision, you know.
Right.
It's all about acting. And like I said before we started, we forget that there's all of the whole other side of the industry behind the scenes who are also parents and also trying to figure it all out. So that's why I reach out to people and say, come and tell me your story.
Tell me your story.
Okay, so you guys, I'm going to put information up about Shannon on motherhoodinhollywood.com, where you can go to her website and they can stock your reel.
Please. Right? Comment.
What is your website, and where on social media can people find you?
ShannonFlynn.net is my website, and I am Voodoo Skidoo. on Twitter, and also Voodoo Skidoo on Instagram, although I don't use the gram all that much.
Yeah.
I should use the
gram
more.
It's a good time. I'm having a lot of fun over there.
Yeah, I know. I hear your podcast. Yeah. I'm subscribed.
I'm on to it. I appreciate that. Everyone subscribe. Did you hear that?
Subscribe.
Subscribe to the show.
So that we can make sure that Heather has high ratings.
Stays on the air. It's important. People don't realize it's important. Subscribe. Like, it's one thing if you just listen, but it's more important
if you subscribe. Then it shows that there's a confidence that you show in Heather and the people that she brings on to give you the information
like
that makes you laugh.
We want it every day and every week.
Every week. Every week.
Exactly.
So, inappropriate question before we wrap.
Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
I've had sex in a car. I've had sex in a bathroom.
No, I mean in the body.
Oh, on the body.
See, I made it inappropriate, but then I took it to another level. Don't answer that question.
I won't answer that question. I won't. On the
Everyone
futon.
That's listening is like, what is happening? This just derailed big time.
I know. I will tell you, though, when I got pregnant with my third child, my son was 4 months old.
Ooh.
And it was the first time that Kelly and I had sex.
Surprise.
And I thought that I was
that you
past
were safe. Yeah.
The period of my period
Not
of being
safe.
Fertile. And I looked at my husband and I said, want a hump? And he said, yeah, all right.
Oh. And that's how Sexy. Number three was made.
Sexy.
You guys have also been together a long time because I think I've had similar conversations.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary on Sunday. Child bride.
Congrats. Child bride. I totally agree with that. I see it.
Yeah. It's
Me
true.
Too.
Child brides. Anyway. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming on. And you guys, if you want more information about Shannon, make sure you check out motherhoodinhollywood.com. I'll put links up to all of her places. All the places
I have not had sex.
All the places she's not had sex. Everywhere you can find her will be up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. Also, make sure you follow me on Twitter at MIH Podcast and Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook and the Instagram. Thank you for coming on the
show.
Thank
you.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
And remember, you guys, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye. Balls.